Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I am also broadcasting live from the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page and my own Facebook page, Celeste Elliott. So for those of you who are just tuning in, today's topic is all about love. Today is, of course, my very favorite holiday, which is, of course, Half Price Chocolate Day. It is the day after Valentine's Day, so I thought love was still fairly topical and something that, you know, frankly, needs to be talked about sometimes. So, you know, for everybody that that goes for a mediumship reading, by the way, I am a registered medium in Lilydale, New York. That means that I have my licensing through the Lilydale Assembly, which is a spiritualist camp in western New York. So we're about an hour south of Buffalo and about 45 minutes to an hour from Erie, Pennsylvania as well. So if you're thinking New York and you're thinking the city, you are way off. Think more rural cherry trees and that sort of thing. That's our main export. So in Lilydale, we have a lot of stuff going on all year long. And this is a Lilydale Radio Blog Talk Show. So for those of you who are missing the main broadcast, you can always listen in reruns. And the address for that is blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio. So you can also always, of course, catch it in reruns from the Facebook pages, either mine or the Lilydale Assembly page. So we should be all set there. And there are a few other shows as well. On Tuesday evening at 8 p.m., we have Embracing Your Essence, which is with Colleen Vanderzijden. They're all registered mediums here in Lilydale. Then on Wednesday, we have two shows. We are blessed with two shows. We have Wednesdays with Willa at 10 a.m., and in the evening, we have John White with Journey into the Light. And John and Willa are not related. We actually have three registered mediums with the last name of White. Two of them are related, and that would be Bonnie White and Willa White, their mother and daughter. And actually, Willa was registered before Bonnie was, which is very interesting. And hopefully I'm going to have her on the show one day, so we can get to know her a little bit. I've been on her show, so it's always cool. So, okay, I'm just checking in here. I know I have some callers already on the line. If you would like to call in today, the number is 818-739-8818, and I will be doing some mediumship stuff later. So for today, I wanted to talk a little bit, of course, about love. I already said that, but, you know, there's lots and lots of different kinds of love, and anybody who has ever come for a reading with a medium, you know, what we do is we bring through evidence of the continuation of life after the body has gone away. We believe in a creator. As spiritualists, we believe in a creator, and we believe in the soul, you know, that goes on and continues to grow and advance and learn. So, you know, kind of striving to be the best version of ourselves, not only here but in the hereafter as well. So, and frankly, I'm not going anywhere there isn't chocolate or coffee. So coffee is my perpetual co-host on this show. So, but yeah, so there's lots of different kinds of love. There's, you know, the love between parent and child. There's spiritual love. There is romantic love, of course. There's all sorts of, you know, really, the list goes on and on. You know, there's the love that we have for our pets. That goes on and on. And some of the best readings that I do, the most fun for me, is actually when I get to bring somebody's pet through as well, because I call them the unconditional love category. So for those of you who are just joining, thank you so much. If you have questions, you can put them on Facebook for me, or you can call in, and that number again is 818-739-8818. Sometimes I get some very kind of existential questions, some about the philosophy, about the religion of spiritualism. And sometimes people just want to hear from their loved ones, and as far as I'm concerned, it's all good. So, because you never know what you're going to learn, you know. So since we're all in the process of growing, because that's what the human experience is, today I wanted to talk a little bit about love from a different perspective, from a sort of philosophical perspective for a little bit. And actually, when I was researching for the show, I'm moving my phone camera closer to me because I used to be a photographer and I can't stand bad angles. So sorry for those of you who are watching. So what I found in talking about love, I turned to Buddhism. So I want to share a little bit about the four immeasurable minds, or also known as Buddha's four qualities of love. For those of you who are asking, you can't text me questions because I can't read that. It's too small. It's too far away. I apologize. But you can write in on Facebook or you can call. So, I read a wonderful article on the four qualities of love by Thich Nhat Hanh, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. I actually wrote it out so that I wouldn't screw it up, but we'll see. Somebody may correct me later, and I'm okay with that too. So, but the four qualities of love, you know, one of my favorite movies around this time of year is actually watching The Princess Bride. And, of course, one of the most famous lines from that movie is, "As you wish." you know, the guy who is the lonely farmhand, but he would do anything for his love, who is the farmer's daughter, actually, in this instance. So, and, you know, that kind of exemplifies what we would refer to in a lot of ways as unconditional love. And I get questions about unconditional love all the time. And so I thought that this kind of would cover that in a way that would have good understanding for everybody. So, and hello to everybody who's just joining us. So the main focus with this little piece here is that happiness is only possible with true love. So then what is true love? What does that mean? Outside of the realms of The Princess Bride. Classic movie. Love it. So the first thing that they write about here is called Maitri, or Metta, and that's translated to love, or sometimes it's also translated to loving kindness. And you'll see that a lot even on bumper stickers. You'll see that the Dalai Lama has the current Holy Dalai Lama, His Holiness, has said that his religion is loving kindness, and so that's a very, very important one, and that's interpreted. It's translated as love or loving kindness. It's the intention and capacity to offer love and happiness. And so that's one of the four components, and it's really, it's understanding what somebody's need is that you're with, whether that is, if you are a parent, the child, whether you are a child, the parent, you know, because we get to be adult
adult children, I'll put it in quotes, you know, and we still, you know, we still have that bond, that connection, or most of us do, those of us who are fortunate. And whether, you know, somebody is in the here or the hereafter, there's still that bond and that connection, and that that relationship can still be nurtured. That's something that we learn through mediumship. A lot of people actually have better relationships with the people. A lot of people actually end up having better relationships with the people in their families and the people that they love after they've gone into spirit, which I find very interesting. And it's partially because once somebody has gone into spirit, they're kind of a captive audience, aren't they? They can't change anymore. Sometimes we get to a point where we get to a really good place with somebody, and then they do something, and it's like, it makes you rethink everything, right? So meta is understanding what somebody needs, meeting them where they are, which is sometimes very difficult for us because, you know, our ego gets involved. And that's very normal. It's very human, you know. And I think that's something that when dealing with love, one of the number one things that we have to learn is that we have to be loving to ourselves also, or the point is moot, you know. And it's a work in process, always. I'm not saying don't engage with anybody until you've learned to love yourself, because one, you're really denying yourself an opportunity to learn, because sometimes how people learn to love themselves, how they learn to see what their needs are, is by connecting with other people. And in connecting with other people, they learn about themselves, right? So, because we're experiencing each other on that soul level. By the way, last month I did a class with Marty Hughes, and I'm going to have to look up the calendar date on that, because I would encourage you all to go back and listen to that, because I'm going to have her on. She talked about soul contracts. She is a certified teacher through Carolyn Meese, who does, that's her work is soul contracts. And she talked about the interconnection in relationships, and we're going to do a follow-up on that, because there was so much to cover that we couldn't possibly have covered it all in just one episode. So I would say, you know, go back and listen to that, because it was really cool. And that was on January 18th. So for those of you who are, I got a lot of loving feedback on that one. I like it. Thank you. I was very lucky to have her. I have a lot of really cool, very talented neighbors. And, you know, they have been blessedly willing to come on and talk to me about, you know, the things that they are experts, subject matter experts in. So occasionally I get those guests, Marty being one of them. So if you want to go back and listen to her episode with me, that was on January 18th, and you can watch the video. The video is poor quality, but the audio is good on it. Or you can just go to blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio and go from there. And good morning and hello to everybody who is just joining now as well. So we're talking about Buddha's Four Quality of Love, and I have a comment here. What would you give of yourself to others is to give all and nothing else. Very powerful experience. And I have to agree. Very nicely put. So four qualities of love, the first one being Maitri or Metta, which is love or loving kindness. And that is talking about meeting someone on the level where they are, to start and have a foundation of friendship. Because often, you know, and no matter what kind of relationship you have, it is kind of key to have a friendship, whether that is also parent-child, and I'm not saying don't parent, be your child's friend, okay? Any parenting advice I would give would be moot anyway because I don't have kids. So not yet anyway. We'll see what happens, what the universe has planned for me. But have the foundation of friendship, because with family members, sometimes we kind of like brush them off. You know, we expect them to always be there. We expect them to always understand. That basis of friendship in your love relationships, in your actual friendships, in your business relationships, to meet everybody as though you have the intention to treat them the best that you possibly can, you're going to find that that like energy that you're putting out there is going to come back to you in that way that it's seeking you, okay? So figuring out, you know, not trying to change somebody, but really meeting them, understanding who they are. So, you know, that's a very, very powerful thing. The second of the four qualities of love, Buddha's four qualities of love, is compassion, or karuna. And compassion is huge in the Buddhist philosophy and tradition. You'll hear, if you ask any monk any question, even if it is what they want for lunch, they're going to find a way to talk about compassion. And frankly, I love that. So, you know, you may say to them, what are you eating for lunch? And they'll say, well, I'm eating vegetarian because of the rules of compassion. And not rules, I shouldn't have put it that way. You get my point. there is, and I'm exaggerating, of course, but you know, compassion is a huge thing, and it's something that I think that we need to put more focus on in this world and in this culture. You know, I spoke last week, and I tried to get to the point of talking about how we have moved away from the philosophy of the Brotherhood of Man. And, you know, that's something that without compassion, that as a societal value, without placing real value on life, and not trying to be political in any way, shape, or form, but a real value on loving someone and being compassionate and allowing them to be somebody to be who they need to be, to inspire someone to be the best version of themselves by being the best version of yourself. You know, that's something that, you know, life, this world, it moves a whole lot smoother if we have that. And so that's something that, you know, within different philosophies, including Buddhism, including spiritualism, including Christianity, you know, it breaks down to the golden rule, you know, treating people, and actually I think that the first rule of love here, Buddha's four rules, actually talks about meeting people where they are, and that goes even beyond the golden rule, because sometimes, you know, we get into that kind of tug of war, but I'll get back to that. So compassion, and that is defined as to relieve suffering, right? And, you know, that's something that we all try to do for our, you know, hopefully beyond just the physical. We do that for ourselves as well as for others. And, you know, but it really means to be aware of where people are suffering. And not necessarily to try to take the action, to take it on to ourselves, okay? And that's that tug-of-war thing that I was talking about. Because we think that if we are really going to help somebody, if we're really going to be compassionate, for most people it is in our nature to say, oh, well, I just, you know, do whatever I have to do to take on their burden, to... But you can have healthy boundaries and a healthy relationship and still be there for somebody and still have compassion for somebody. Because if you forget to have compassion for yourself, and this is actually another and I stumbled right into it. I didn't intend this, but another really big thing from the Dalai Lama, if you fail to have compassion starting with yourself, then your sense of understanding is not complete. So we have metta, the intention and capacity to offer joy and happiness. The second is compassion. And then the third is joy, or I know I'm going to butcher this word. I'm so sorry. It translates to joy, but from Tibetan, it's, I'm going to say it phonetically, mudita, so, which means true love, and not just the kind that we would find within within the Princess Bride. So I got to go back to that joke. I need to watch that, I think, tonight. I think that's probably going to be my mission now because I love that movie. But, so true love, you know, so you have compassion. It's to retain clarity, calmness, and strength, to be present for someone, to understand truly what they're going through, and really be there for them as best you can. Thank you for all of the comments here. If you would like to call in and discuss this, or you have a question, or you just want some mediumship information, please feel free to do that. Our call-in number here for guests is 818-739-8818. If you are too shy to do that, to be on air, I get that. And, you know, you can always email me. I do sometimes take requests as far as, you know, show topics and that sort of thing. So don't think that you don't have an opportunity to play a role as well. Okay, so, but for today, if you want to call in, it's 818-739-8818. So going back to number three, which is joy, the way this was written, you know, I kind of paraphrased with everything to understand, to bring it down to my own understanding, but, you know, when they talk about joy in this sense, it is true love brings joy to both parties. So if you, and this is what I mean about having compassion for yourself also, if you are in a relationship and I don't know why I'm getting a busy signal, I'm so sorry. It should be open. I would say keep trying. It might be, I only have one caller on the line, and that might be why, actually. But if you have true compassion for yourself, if you are in a relationship and you are making the other person so happy and you're really there for them, but you're not, then that's a problem. And it's something that sometimes we fail to recognize, you know. We want to, we get into a place where we sort of, there has to be a give and take. There has to be some equality within a relationship, or I don't think that is fulfilling on a soul level. And from there, you're not, how are you learning from each other, right? You know, it's not supposed to be all about sacrifice. And so that's something that can be worked on, that, you know, things can be rehabilitated, that you can, you know, really put the focus and the emphasis on first figuring out what joy feels like to you, whether that is using that as a meditation mantra, whether that is doing exercises that every day spiritually that will increase that, whether that is saying, you know, I love going on roller coasters, and that joyful anticipation of the fun that I'm going to have, because the joy is what you feel in before you get on the roller coaster. Okay, for those of us who like roller coasters, I happen to. The happiness is what you feel once you're on the ride. So a little bit of a difference. You know, but it happiness, because happiness relates to body and mind, and joy relates to just the mind. So kind of think of it that way. And then there is the fourth of Buddha's four qualities of love, or the four immeasurable minds, and that's equanimity is the fourth one, or upsheka, which is non-attachment or even-mindedness, okay? Because when you have filled yourself up with joy, with compassion, with love, you know, in wanting to nurture and care for someone and be nurtured and cared for, then you're not going to be run over or overwhelmed. You know, when I think of in romantic relationships, when we get into a romantic relationship, at first our mind is just filled with the thoughts of this person, right? And, you know, we want to know about them, and, you know, the endorphins are going, and, you know, we're thinking about them all the time, and if we think that they're unhappy with us, we are in the depths of despair. And if we think that they are happy with us, we are elated. We feel very, you know, we have a lot of joy, a lot of anticipation of that wonderful energy of being with them. But for real love, and talking about equanimity, this is something about it's letting go of that tug of war, of that wanting, of the necessity to be the only one and the only thing. It's kind of, in layman's terms, partially it's throwing away codependency. To be the best version of yourself, for the other person to be the best version of their selves. And so you have these two perfect bubbles. And you think, okay, well, they're round, so they're going to bounce off of each other, right? But in actuality, it becomes a bit like a Venn diagram, and it becomes interwoven within each other, okay? So it gets rid of the tug-of-war. And there is the philosopher Osho, and there is a rather famous saying around, if you love a flower, you don't pick it, because if you pick it, it ceases to be what it was that you loved about it. So you don't allow the flower to be overwhelmed by you, and you don't become overwhelmed by the flower. Instead, what you do is you nurture it. You water it, you weed around it. Maybe you, on a special occasion, you buy it some mulch. I don't know. But there, I'm not much of a gardener. My front yard is gravel. but, you know, this is the quality and the nature of taking care, okay? So those are the four Buddhist four qualities of love as presented. My understanding of it, and as I got it from Nishnat Han, who is a Buddhist monk. So thank you for allowing me to share that with you. My computer keeps going to sleep today, so I'm going to try to rouse it without giving us an echo. But very shortly here, I want to take callers. So again, if you want to call in today, the number is 818-739-8818. And thank you to everybody who is watching on Facebook as well, and for all of the good comments. And I keep forgetting that I have two cameras. I'm supposed to look at the little one, so hi. I'm going to take callers in just a second, but I want to go back to how this love relates with mediumship, because that's what I know, that's what I do. You know, the thing with mediumship, and as I kind of alluded to before, a lot of times people have a better relationship with somebody who was sort of difficult, or they didn't really know, you know, through mediumship or when the person is on the other side. And again, partially that's because once you go into spirit, you're a little bit of a captive audience. You know when somebody's talking about you, you've on this plane of existence, you know when somebody's thinking about you, you know when somebody is celebrating your birthday or, you know, is in grief over your passing, you miss them too. So it's not like you go on to this place and you totally forget about your earthly experience. You know, you still have connections with people. And, you know, as the saying goes from Ram Dass, we're all just walking each other home. So eventually we'll all see each other be together again on in that same next plane. But before then, you can work on the relationship even if your loved one is already in spirit. And by all of those things that I was just talking about, you can talk to them. You can send them healing energy. That's part of the spiritualist tradition. You can, you know, they're going on and progressing their souls just like we do here. They, I am told they do not require coffee or chocolate. I still do because I'm still human. I'm still in the body. couldn't be helped. You know, they will send us signs and messages. And, you know, it's different. I get questions about, you know, when is it typical for people in some traditions around the world. It is typical for spirit people to hang out for a few months before they go on. And you can choose to do that, but it is a choice. Eventually, everybody goes home, okay? And, you know, then for some people, they go home immediately and they come right back to be with us to, you know, as our loved ones on this in the physical are grieving. And for some, they take years and years. And it's just about their personal journey. And it doesn't mean that even if they don't come back and visit frequently or you're not catching the signs of them, that they're not checking in and sending you love and thinking about you as well, okay? So nobody gets abandoned. Nobody gets left behind. That is something that I can assure you as a medium. So... and if you are interested in mediumship, you should check out the LilydaleAssembly.org website. We have all sorts of very cool classes. Starting here next month in March, the March class actually is a weekend on transmediumship with Lisa Williams. That unfortunately is already sold out, but you could maybe get on the waiting list if you called the office. There is also in... let's see, April, we have a fabulous whole weekend with Judith Rochester, and she's kind of, she's just so freaking cool, and I hope to have her on, and I know there's still a few tickets left for that. The class is a Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday, part of Friday, I should say, all day Saturday and part of Sunday, and that is... about joyful service to spirit, and hopefully if you're interested in mediumship, that's how you think of it. Because I will say the best advice I ever got in mediumship is have fun. and I have to say, you know, that is when I get some of the best readings. So, you know, you set the energy. And so Judith is really, really cool. I would tell you to definitely check that out, okay? And it is a brand-new website, so you can go right to the search bar and put her little name in, and it comes right up. Then, let's see, that's April. So then in May, we are very fortunate to have two sisters, twins, actually, that you may know from the Hay House community, and that's Sharon Klingler and Sandra Taylor. There's still a few tickets left for their classes as well. Don't wait too long on these, but that's also, it's a weekend, part of Friday, all day Saturday, part of Sunday. They're really cool. They're going to be talking about Akashic Records and Sharon Klingler is also a registered medium here in Lilydale. Her sister Sandra, fortunately, you know, part of the community, not registered, but she comes and does courses and lectures and that sort of thing, and she's awesome as well. They're both really cool. So check that out. I am going to be teaching next summer here in Lilydale, so you can look for my classes. I'm very, very privileged to be able to serve and teach here. That's not something that I take for granted. So, you know, I want to use this as an opportunity to kind of share this community with you because it's really very, very unique. I hope that you get an opportunity at some point to come and join us. So we do have our traditional summer program, and that has, you know, all sorts of activities going on every day that are included in the gate price when you come in. Outdoor message services, which is public mediumship, mini church service midday every day, meditation in the morning, development circles, lectures, classes, workshops, all sorts of really, really cool things. We also have some beautiful grounds. We have part of an old growth forest here, which means that we preserve our trees. We don't cut them down unless they are a threat to property or life. And if we have to, we let them decay naturally. You know, we just kind of like move them out of the way. So our woods are absolutely beautiful, and we have a few trails and things. And of course, the Healing Temple. And by the way, even in the off season, there's lots of things to do, often through the churches, but also here we have the Healing Temple service. We have a healing service every Wednesday evening, 7:30 to 8:30. Little, very, very short inspirational lecture or reading, like 5 minutes, and the rest is healing and some mediumship. So you can check that out in person and enjoy. Okay, so I have two people on the line, so I want to get to them. And questions, also you can write in or you can call. Again, the call-in number is 818-739-8818, 818-739-8818. That's a lot of numbers, my goodness. Okay, so I'm going to take a caller, and you have the last four digits of 6979. So if you could give me your name and where you're calling from. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Hi, this is Donna from California, Santa Barbara.
Oh, my.
Excuse me. yeah, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for calling in. So did
you
find us through Blog Talk, or are you
Oh,
wonderful.
Blog Talk.
Well,
yeah,
I wish I
lived in Lilydale. I'd go to some of those classes, but you have to live there or go there, right?
Well, we are actually working on doing some by webinar, so you may get your wish with that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that would be fantastic to have you come in that way. But until that time, we would love to see you in person as well. So.
Yeah, maybe I'll make it out there sometime. I'd like that.
That would be wonderful. Did you have a question today, or were you calling
something? Here's the thing. I can hear my mother and my nephew. They're on the other side. And I heard first of all, I had two dreams with my mother, and we're celebrating with such joy and happiness. It was unbelievable. And then I heard her, she's been gone 32 years. And then I heard her about 4 months ago say, "You're going to be rewarded." So I didn't know what she meant. How am I going to be rewarded? A new lifestyle, a windfall, maybe a husband coming into my life. I don't know. But I did get that distinctive message from her.
I have to say, when I focus in for you, which, by the way, the being able to connect with your loved ones through dreams, that's a very valid visitation, okay?
Okay.
And part of me wants to tease you from your mother to say, well, why don't you ask me next time I come in? because she does pretty frequently. But the way that I get the information is that she touches in, and it's like she's real quick at the beginning of a dream, and then she, like, disappears sort of thing. So she's kind of, you know, she teases you. It's like she is trying to say to you, she wants you to know that she keeps very busy over there as well. Okay?
Oh, wonderful.
Which I both love and think is very cute at the same time. But, you know, there was something about your mom and the way she describes herself to me that she gives me the feeling that she was a little glamorous. That's kind of the best.
She was, yeah, well, she was, because her earlier years and her 20s and all, she was a model.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me, because the
yeah.
way that she was holding herself, the way that she was, it was like my nails would have been done very nicely. I worried about that. I made sure that I was wearing my lipstick. And even
yes.
when she got older, you know, she didn't want to be seen unless she looked good. So
yes, absolutely. She put on her false
yeah.
eyelashes, makeup, hair done every day.
God bless her, because I can't figure out how to put on false lashes for the life of me. So maybe she'll come in for the hearing. But, you know, she is, you know, she tells me that the two of you had a really wonderful relationship, that you
yes.
helped to take care of her, even though feel as though she wasn't able to stay in her home totally towards the end there. You understand?
She pretty much stayed. She died in her home.
Okay.
Because
she gives me
the times where she had to go into the hospital to give blood
yeah.
to give blood transfusions. So she was in and out of the hospital a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Because she says there's certain things that just couldn't be done at home, you know, on her behalf. But
yeah.
She felt that you took very, very good care of her, that there wasn't anything more that you could have done to be present for her, okay? So I want to make sure that you know that. I do actually
yeah.
see this little gray dog that's with her. And I don't know if I want to call this, like, it almost gives me the feeling of, like, a Scotty dog, okay? Although I don't think of Scotty dogs as being gray, but I get that kind of haircut, that kind of almost wire hair look about it. And so I need to acknowledge her having this dog. I don't feel this was necessarily her dog, but she has this dog with her, and I need to acknowledge that, okay?
Okay.
And it's sort of like she's taking care of it, but it's also kind of like it's a good companion, but also like she likes its style sort of thing.
So
she's having fun with it. And now what's interesting, you were talking also about kind of young male energy that you had heard
yes.
as well, okay? And I don't remember whether you said this was like uncle for you or brother for you.
Nephew.
Okay, so that's why he's younger. Okay. I feel like this was a whole lot quicker than anybody could have anticipated.
Yes.
And I'm just so sorry, because he says that he didn't really get a chance to say goodbye to people.
No.
And he apologizes for that, but he says he knows it wouldn't have made it better, but he also wants you to know, I don't know what the era was with his generation. He's not giving me that. But I'm hearing a Boys to Men song in the background, which is very much my generation, and I'm in my 30s. So, but I'm hearing it like the song about it's so hard to say goodbye, okay? And part of how I got the message off of that, but he says he uses music, and sometimes it's a tearjerker, but he helps you through things by playing music. Okay?
Yeah.
So pay attention to that. And I'm seeing that he's left you pennies as well, which I think you were associating with an older male, but he says he does this too. So good thing you don't live in Canada, because they got rid of their pennies. We'll call that the inflation of spirit. They have to leave nickels and quarters now. So maybe loonies and toonies if they're rich. I don't know. But, yeah, I have to say, I want to say to you that he lived without fear, this
yeah.
nephew. He lived fearlessly, and I think partially it was because
yeah.
he knew that he was going to be okay even if his physical body wasn't. Okay? I don't want to call him reckless. I want to call him just very in tune with his being. And he very much still is, okay? He really sends a lot of love. But your mom's message was partially about you learning to accept that you deserve some joy in your life. Because it puts you in anticipation of something, okay? And she tells me that's not easy to do with you. How do you feel about that? But it's a feeling here, because she's saying what you put your energy towards partially is, you know, what's going to come to you, okay? And that's a lot of times what they do, these spirit people, these loved ones, is they will come in and they will acknowledge what they see you putting your energy towards, okay? And she's talking about there being a kind of retirement factor for you. You understand?
I'm retired, yeah.
And she says, you know, it's like living out your dreams now, even if it's in a small way. So you may not be able to join the Philharmonic and be first chair violin, but if somebody offered you the position playing the triangle, you wouldn't turn it down, okay? It's being a part of something that is where you find your joy. And so that's what she's encouraging you to do with your retirement, is that kind of new sense of purpose, because she says that you like to help people. You like
I
to
do.
But that's not enough. So she is saying, you know, there has to be more with it, okay? And, you know, you're slowly but surely finding your crowd, which is very different from who you hung out with before. And she's saying she's watching that and she's approving, okay? No, I don't know that you at your age need her approval, but at least you know you have. Okay, so hopefully that helps you.
One quick question. Do you see a relationship coming in for me with a man, because it's been quite a few years and I've never been married, and I'd like to be in a relationship, a loving relationship where I'm married.
Okay, yeah, so that extra, not just that it would be a understanding between the two of you, but there would also be that kind of public commitment as well. Because, of course, that's what the marriage ceremony is. But, this is part of this thing that your mom was talking about, because you don't really go out and about. You don't leave your comfort zone. So she's saying
not too much. You're right. But I signed up for all these classes: acting, psychology, art journaling,
okay.
Past life regression in March. So I will be out there in classes.
There you go. Okay. So that's how you'll meet someone, because she says
yeah.
the online dating didn't work for you.
No, it absolutely didn't. It did not work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a different approach. That's where you're putting your energy, and that's where you'll find your new, that new group that she was recognizing for you, as well as that new love. Okay?
Yes,
so,
because my past friends, I'm no longer going out with them. They just, you know, it was always me giving to them, and yeah, so I kind of left them in the, you know, I left those friends, and I'm hoping to make new friends and start new beginnings with people that can reciprocate as well.
See, that's, and that goes right back to Buddha's four qualities of love. So that's perfect. You know, you're on the right track. And so if you want that kind of relationship, that loving marriage relationship, I don't see that being a problem, because you're putting the energy into it now. So
yes, yes. Oh, wonderful.
And also, Mom says look for the butterflies. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So they'll come in and give you signs that way as well. All right.
Aw, thank you so much. That was wonderful.
You're very welcome.
I so appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank
okay.
you. Many blessings.
All righty. So I've got an opportunity for one more caller real quick. So I'm going to go with the next one who's been waiting the longest. And the last four digits of your phone are 2037. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. And what's your name and where are you calling?
Yeah, hi. My name is Nan and from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Did you have a question today, or were you looking for some mediumship information?
Sure. Well, the question I have is sometimes in readings, certain people come through, and how is that? How does that happen? Why is it one person or one maybe relative and not another?
Well, sometimes the squeaky wheel gets oiled.
I see. Got it.
The people who are very insistent. The people who have more quiet personalities, sometimes they're standing in the room when you're doing the reading. And as the medium, it's like if you don't really look around and feel around, or, you know, that sort of thing, you may not know they're there because they were quiet in life, and so their personality as an identifier is still quiet from the side of life. So what you can do is set the intention, send out the invitation before a reading, and say, I know so-and-so hasn't come through before. I would love to have a message from them. And sometimes you'll have one of the other people come and kind of read you the letter or send you or the postcard from the loved one on the other side, because they may be working on something. They may not be available to come through at that time.
Mm.
Okay?
Got it.
And
neat.
It does
okay.
happen on occasion, and they'll tell me that. It's like so-and-so wanted to be here today, but they were, you know, they're working on something. So she needs to know that they hang out with so-and-so and so-and-so over here, that they're fine, that they're sending their love, that when they do come to visit, this is how they like to come through for us in the living. And, you know, but if you put out the invitation, that often encourages people to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, on my walk yesterday, I came across a group. It looked like, I'm not sure, but I have to look it up and see or ask my daughter, of red-tail hawk feathers. And I do believe a hawk is one of my totems. I'm wondering, can you give me anything more about that?
Well, I have to say that feels to me more like it's connection and communication between you and your guides than it is any one specific relative or loved one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what I know from because you've been working on your spiritual path and development in the last couple of
mm-hmm.
months here. And
mm-hmm.
I am aware in connecting with your guides, they're, you know, Red Tail Hawk, that's a very, very cool totem. From what I remember about that, and there's a fabulous book that I keep around for reference points called Power Animals. And Red Tail Hawk is very, often bird totems are very protective in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been sort of sorting out your belief system is how I'm hearing it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to you to be aware that it's like what you're doing is like a safe venture, okay? That you're being taken care of, that you're being rewarded for noticing by having more things come into for you.
yeah.
Pretty great word, I have to say. And it's something along the lines of letting you know just that you're on the right track, but it's like as you're gathering these, because I see you not only seeing these feathers but gathering them,
yeah.
It's like I see you eventually making something that is sacred for you as well. Okay?
Mm.
You're building up to a time where you're ready to kind of let go or throw out old energy. And so that's part of what this is about, okay? And when you're ready,
right.
You don't need those feathers anymore. You can give them to somebody who does, and it's all good.
Okay. Wonderful. That's perfect. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I am working towards throwing out some old energy for sure. I don't know what that's about, holding on to that old energy, but
You know, the thing is we develop these patterns and then that feels safe to us. And it may not help
mm-hmm.
us to thrive, but it feels like survival. Survival feels
yeah.
safe. So we will hold on to these things until it really hits us like, okay, this is truly no longer serving me, and it's okay to be aware, to be compassionate with myself, to do what is best for myself, and to leave this other stuff behind. And when we sort of consciously throw it out, and whether that is, you know, writing out the words, and throwing it in the shredder or the garbage can or safely, setting it on fire, you know, on the grill
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful thing to take that control back. So,
right.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much for calling in today.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, you know, for those of us who have no association with Lilydale, who've never been here, who've really never heard of us except for through Blog Talk. Thank you very much for tuning in and for sharing this with your friends. You know, like I said, I would encourage everybody we have to check out the new website, lilydaleassembly.org. Next week, again, I'm having Marty Hughes back on the show to finish up talking about sacred contracts. I will be taking questions that whole time. We're going to be just chit-chatting back and forth about stuff. So feel free in between to write to me at REV, as short for Reverend Celeste Elliott, at gmail.com. My website, you can get me through there as well, is celesteelliott.com. There's two L's and two T's in Elliott, just in case you were wondering, or you can Google Celeste Elliott. So until next time, I am wishing you a good day and goodbye.